Listen to this. South Africa's bleak economic outlook raises the risk of increased sexual harassment in the workplace. So when we heard junk status, and then we heard it again, none of us, I don't think any of us actually thought about, wait, what does this mean for women's rights, right? Not a lot of us actually thought about that. But Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyr did. In fact, they went and did a bit of research. So I'm in studio right now with Adil Patel, who's the director, a director with Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyr, Fatima Musa, HR manager at Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyr, and Mariela Noriega, who's an intern industrial psychologist at Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyr. Guys, welcome to the talk shop.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
It's so good to have you with us. I'll take calls as well, 0891 104 207. Tell me about the research, Mariela. I know that you guys actually, number one, I have to thank you for coming, for all coming, because then you're going to give us different perspectives. And if, you know, if you're in the employer or HR manager, you've got questions, you can call in and get answers. But what sparked this research? What was the very beginning of this?
Well, I guess what sparked it was just having a look, just logically thinking about it. When people have a fear of losing their jobs because there's an economic downturn and they are scared of unemployment, then things that will affect them in the workplace negatively might go unnoticed. So I think it was first like our logic of thinking about how things will actually happen below the surface. And then we went out and we researched to see international studies if they've investigated it. And we found that the findings were all consistent with what we had thought. And they found that during economic instability, the incidences of sexual harassment increases, but the reporting decreases. The reportings aren't usually available.
So let's talk about where you got some of the info, right, and how you collected the data. You don't have to go into too much detail, but I'm essentially looking for some of the examples that you saw, in other countries, and you know what this means for women especially. So what the research actually reveals. So if there's numbers, if there's percentages, give me some of the key
Okay,
findings. Yeah.
great. So Johnny Hirsch is the main researcher who studied this. He's from the Vanderbilt University of Law and Economics. He was using mostly a US sample from the States, and what he found is that while well, the stats that he found is that only 6% of reportings are actually come to the fore, whereas half of women and 10% of men are actually sexually harassed at work, but only 6% actually get reported.
This is in tough economic times, or is this just
This
generally?
is during the economic downturn, what is happening?
So what the international research has found is that there's a direct correlation between an increase in the incidence of sexual harassment and a decrease
In
in
the
reporting.
reporting.
So there's a direct correlation internationally. And what they found is that it's most prevalent amongst low-skilled employees. And that's understandable. So insofar as you're a primary breadwinner, you're unskilled, probably from the rural area, and there's a prospect of being unemployed, alternatively keeping quiet and having a job, you choose the lesser of two evils. So I'll rather put food on my table and just bear with it.
Can I actually open up the lines and ask people to call in with their own experiences? Because I know a lot of women that have lived through these type of situations and have continued to keep quiet because I have a family to feed, I have a bond, I have all these things that I need to take care of. I'm not going to report this boss or that colleague, right? 0891 104 207. Does this, are you hearing this? Does it resonate with you? And what is it that you would like to then change in your workplace so that you can feel safe to report sexual harassment in the workplace? 0891 104 207. Now, this is the thing, though. A lot of us don't even understand what the law says about sexual harassment in the place, in the workplace. So I could be walking down this corridor and my boss grabs a part of my body. And a lot of people don't know what their rights are, where to go, who to report it to, how to report it, how soon to report it, and all of those details.
So I think South Africa's issue is not what the law is. Mm. I think we have some of the most progressive laws that protect employees who are victims of sexual harassment. Mm. We have the Labor Relations Act, we have the Employment Equity Act, we have a Code of Good Practice on Sexual Harassment, we have the CCMA, we have the Labor Court, we have a progressive judiciary when it comes to sexual harassment who's not afraid to take on genuine complaints of sexual harassment.
Mm.
That's not South Africa's that's not South Africa's concern. South Africa's problem is education. It's an HR issue.
Mm.
It's gaining confidence, is ensuring that your employees trust the system.
Mm.
Your employees trust the organization. Your employees feel comfortable in knowing what to do. Your employees understanding what constitutes sexual harassment.
Mm.
So the laws are just words on a piece of paper. Primarily a sexual harassment concern is an HR issue.
Yeah.
Where what you need is the organization to come to the forefront and start developing policies, procedures, education, awareness campaigns. So what you have now is that you have the international data, which says is the direct correlation between what's happening in South Africa or what's going to happen and an increase in sexual harassment. The organization now needs to say, okay, what are the measures we're going to start implementing in order to negate these sort of incidents from happening during this particular time?
Right.
Sexual harassment is bad generally.
Yeah.
But we know that during this time, we're going to see an incident. We're going to see an increase based on our research. And now you need to start putting the accelerator down.
Yeah.
And that's where Fatima and the HR fraternities responsibility comes in.
And I'm going to come to Fatima and talk about why, what it is that HR departments need to start doing, especially in this period. But I needed to highlight this. This is now from the piece that I got from you guys. While some cases fall outside of the usual narrative in general, challenges to a harasser, a harasser status as the prototypical male results in them dominating others to compensate for their own insecurities. So this is now a male employer or colleague who is now challenged economically or even in the systems within the workplace and feels inadequate and wants to then, enforce himself on others and feel like he's in charge. That's a serious thing. So if you're in the workplace and you've experienced this, you know what we're talking about. Give me a call, 0891-104207. Kalala's on the line in Cape Town.
Kalala.
Yes, hi, Kalala.
Naledi, it's a very, sorry to say, tricky topic. I'm going to defend my, or give you a reason why I say it's a tricky one. From my own experience, what I noticed at work. Naledi, you can watch it, think, that is wrong what the boss did. Just from the example you say, it's happening almost every day in every workplace, whereby you see the CEO, the general manager, touch the lady's bum and make funny comment, and she just smile. She turn around and and she smile. But we look at it, we're like, but what's going on? Maybe she's somebody's wife. We're like, no, but it's not fair. How can we go report because she's actually enjoying it? So I think maybe your guests can tell us, did they also do research on finding out, so are these women enjoying it or not? Are these men enjoying it or not?
Kalal,
hold on
a second. Are you insinuating that a woman could possibly enjoy being sexually harassed? I mean, we're not talking about courting. Listen, I'm not talking about courting. I'm talking about being sexually harassed. So someone in the workplace who is in a more powerful position than you are, grabbing your buttock, and you think that someone could possibly enjoy that because what you might see,
you are walking down the floor, this man who is not your husband or your boyfriend, is your boss, is touching, and what is your reaction? You can say, hey, stop it, then we can see you are not enjoying it.
Now,
if you're laughing, smiling, what are you doing?
Okay, Kalala, thanks for calling.
That's my question to your guests and to you.
No. I'm glad you brought it up, actually, Kalala.
Yeah.
Because what it does, thanks for calling in. I'll take more calls, 0891-104207. I think we need to start by almost explaining what harassment even means, right? Fatima, do you want to sure. take that one? Because you're a lady too. You handle that one.
Okay, so sexual harassment in its purest form is any unwanted or unwelcome advances of a sexual nature. Mm. Anything that's welcome or that's mutually acceptable is not considered to be sexual harassment. Mm. In fact, harassment is less about, you know, very few sexual harassment cases are actually botched seduction cases. Mm. Sexual harassment is actually a power play by the perpetrator against a victim. It's less about attraction and courting, as you say, and more about asserting power over a powerless individual or a less powerful individual.
Can I also say this? That sometimes, and remember, we're talking about power dynamics in the workplace here, and Adil touched on it earlier, is that if you are someone who is worried about the security of your job and being able to feed your family, and your boss grabs your buttock, the likelihood is you're going to smile not because you're enjoying it, but because you don't want to rock the boat too much because you need a salary at the end of the month. Can we actually just talk about that? We're going to go into the news. When we come back, we're going to get tips on what HR managers need to start thinking about in the workplace after this. It's 8 o'clock. Continuing our discussion, though, with Adil Patel, director at Cliftech Hofmeyr, Fatima Musa, HR manager, and Mariela Noriega, intern industrial psychologist, are both of them also with Cliftech Hofmeyr. And they've conducted some research that shows that our bleak economic outlook in fact raises the risk of increased sexual harassment in the workplace. And we had a discussion now during the news, didn't we, about what, quite often, in fact, when we talk about sexual harassment in the workplace, we imagine this corporate environment, this urban type of setting, and everyone's in corporate suits and there's a bum grab. When actually it doesn't really look like that on the ground, does it?
No. So what happens is, so you have sexual harassment in an urban environment, but I believe that more prevalent and ones that get underreported is amongst the domestic worker sector as defined and amongst farm workers and rural employees and unskilled employees who the fear factor overwhelms them. Mm. The fact that they're going to lose their minimum wage just because they believe that they've been harassed or they have been harassed. Mm. Factually and legally, they have been harassed. Mm. But the fear of being impoverished is simply a thought too ghastly to bear.
Yeah.
So what you have is an underreporting, in my view, amongst domestic workers, farm workers, unskilled workers, and rural employees. Mm. And I think that just to elaborate on that, when we think of sexual harassment, we think of conduct which is of a physical nature, but it could be of a non-physical nature as well. And given the access to the internet and Wi-Fi and social media, you'll see many incidents. The law reports are flood with these cases where fellow employees are showing each other pornography on social media, and where a female employee or a male employee tells his or her colleague, "I don't want to look at that," and it just persists. And that sort of conduct amounts to sexual harassment. The minute somebody says, "I don't want," that your conduct or your behavior is unacceptable, you should just stop.
Mm.
And the minute you persist, even if it's not touching the person, but making comments, conducting yourself in a manner.
That's a lovely skirt. That's a lovely short skirt.
Yes.
Too far. Yeah.
So I think that when we did this study, and just to lead on to the next point, is that within the corporate environment and within the domestic sector and amongst farm workers and unskilled workers, what we require is not more laws. What we require is simply an education and awareness campaign. We need the HR departments and we need HR practitioners and HR professionals. And non-governmental organizations to start educating people, empowering them, so that we can see during these tough economic times an increase of reporting without the fear of victimization, without the fear of people losing their employment.
Yeah. Let's take it from there then, Fatima, and talk about what HR departments really need to be doing right now.
Okay, so what effectively needs to happen is a culture of trust and safety needs to be created for potential victims of sexual harassment. And the way that organizations can do that is firstly by sharing the information of what is sexual harassment, what constitutes sexual harassment, and assisting employees in guarding against behavior that may lead to sexual harassment, rather than just making sure that employees are aware of their rights and the process. The first step is preventing sexual harassment from occurring in the workplace.
Right.
Obviously, that is followed by making employees aware or alerting employees to their rights and the process that should be followed in the event that somebody has been a victim of sexual harassment. Mm. Accessibility of your HR or wellness team, so that people know who to talk to, and the individuals that they need to talk to are open to listening to and addressing cases of sexual harassment in a manner that ensures the victim's confidentiality, the victim's that the issue is dealt with swiftly and sensitively. Sexual harassment workshops where these issues are debated and discussed in an open forum so that people can ask their questions and receive the answers from experts within the field.
Mm. Yeah, very important. And you've got all of these things up on a site so that HR managers are able to access all of this information so that they're able to empower themselves as well.
Exactly.
I'll take a call, 0891-104207. And you can send SMSs to 40938. There's Patrick on the line. Once he's through, okay, he's not through yet. Can we just talk about what is really at stake here? If HR managers do not actually take care of this now, right? Because there's an employer who's listening and thinks, what does it matter? All I care about is the bottom line. None of this is going to affect the bottom line for me.
So some of the studies have indicated that when there's an increase in sexual harassment in the workplace, it actually affects productivity.
Mm.
So if you
naturally,
if you're one that just simply looks at the bottom line and you're saying that that's all I'm interested in, well, here's a stat which says if you have employees who are sexually harassed, it affects their productivity levels. Mm. They come to work scared. They come to work fearful. Because why? A person in authority believes him or her is able to take or able to do as they please with this individual. They have the power of life or death for this particular individual. And our courts have held that dismissal and somebody losing their job is like the death knell.
Mm.
It's, for some people, it's like death. It's tantamount to it. They go home sad, depressed. Now you've been sexually harassed. You know it's wrong. You know you have a family at home. And you come to work and this older person, your superior, has his way with you. You can't function, and the psychological, the studies are bound with that.
Mm. I need to quickly take Patrick. Can I quickly take Patrick? Patrick in East London. Good evening.
Hey.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, Patrick. Good evening. Talk to us, brother.
I know, it's fine. Actually, I just want to we're not very much clear about this sexual harassment. How do you really define it in terms of in our working environment? I'm aware, probably, is it necessary from a superior and versus the his subordinates, or probably it's on the, how do you define it, on the same level?
No, it does. This is not, remember, let me help you with this, Patrick. Sexual harassment is no, it's not about who is doing it to the next person and whether that person has authority or not. Sexual harassment is if I were to send you a porn clip and every time I see you make a comment about your body or make a comment about how one day I'm going to kiss you and you're extremely uncomfortable with that, regardless of whether I am male or female, in authority or not, younger or older, it is a sexual advance that you are uncomfortable with that I keep pushing up on you. Does that make sense?
Yes, to a certain level. You know, sometimes we have those cultural actually background.
Yes.
We normally sometimes greet you are a beautiful lady and so forth, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not really. Yeah. On the other hand, I do really accept you.
Okay.
Your
so,
argument.
You
yeah.
You know, we need to have a conversation about this.
Is it criminalized or decriminalized? Is it a criminal offense?
Adel?
So it depends what you do in order to, when you make that comment. If you're simply making a comment to say you are you're a beautiful individual, and the person accepts that comment, so she doesn't inform you or he doesn't inform you that it's unwanted or please stop, then it's consensual. But if the person continuously says please stop and expresses this to you, or he or she doesn't say it verbally but by their conduct you can see that it becomes uncomfortable, then certainly you should stop. And I will answer the question in a moment. From a criminal perspective, where you have your way with a particular individual physically, and that person and that conduct of yours from a physical perspective is unwanted and unwarranted, that could be criminalized. Where you victimize and harass somebody, that could be criminalized as well. Where the person tells you stop and you just continuously go on and on and on, that could be criminalized.
Mm.
But we are talking about this from an employment law perspective. In an employment relationship, and you're quite correct, it is irrelevant whether you're a superior, whether you're a junior person, whether you're a male or a female. If you engage in behavior and conduct which is unwarranted, that is tantamount to sexual harassment.
Yeah.
The studies say, but it's usually prevalent amongst senior persons and people in authority within the workplace.
Yeah. Okay, so we need to actually move towards wrapping this up, and I really appreciate this conversation. Just quickly give us a website where we can look at some of the research that you've conducted and we can empower ourselves as well.
So it's on our firm's website, www.cliffdeckerhoffmeyer.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Cliff is with an E, so C-L-I-F-F-E, Decker, D-E-K-K-E-R, Hoffmeyer, H-O-F-M-E-Y-R.com. Very easy. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a very important discussion. I think one of these days we need to actually have a real discussion about defining sexual harassment, because a few people really don't understand it. There's an SMS that says, does sexual harassment mean the same thing as rape or sexual assault? Oh my goodness, we need to start from, you know, there's a lot of work that we need to do, but we'll do it here on the Talk Shop. Guys, thank you so much. Fatima, Adel, and Mariella, you're still on the Talk Shop.